LiveWire with Ling Pang.
Hi, this is Ling Pang for LiveWire. I am joined by author and music publisher Graham Slater for the story behind the Christmas song. Hi Graham, welcome to LiveWire.
Hi Ling, nice to be with you. It's always nice when you get near to Christmas, isn't it, to come up with something a little bit special.
Yes, indeed. This song is now a Christmas classic, but it nearly didn't happen. Why was that?
Okay, well, the song was written originally and the record company that was due to release it, the band was signed to them, went out of business. So there was a hiatus and they couldn't record anywhere else. They couldn't do anything else. So it was a real problem for them. But over a 2-year period between 1985 and 87, they actually finished it.
Interesting. So when was it written? But don't tell us who wrote it at this stage.
Okay, well, it was written in 1985, but it took a lot longer than that because it's quite a when people hear it, they'll realise that it's quite a difficult song. It's difficult to record, and there are certain aspects to it that made it very, very difficult to actually get finished.
Well, I believe Elvis Costello originally produced the record and wanted to rename it, but didn't he have a bet with the band's manager?
Yes, he did. He was brought in by Stiff Records to produce the band. And one of the songs that he was producing is this particular track. But it went wrong. He did have a bet with the manager, Frank Maloney. And he said they won't be able to write a Christmas song. And originally it wasn't meant to be a Christmas song. But it is. It's a massive, massive hit. But we'll come to that in a sec. So, yeah, he had a bet with him and he said, OK, can they do it? And Frank Maloney said, yeah, of course they can, but not yet.
Is it right that the song is named after a 1970 novel by J.P. Dunleavy?
Yes, that's a clue to it, but I don't think many people will know that. Yes, it is. It's the title of a novel by J.P. Dunleavy. I don't know how they came up with the title, but we'll come to that in a minute. I'm sure
I
know how they did it, actually.
Well, didn't they attempt to record it several times? And why it takes several times? It must be a difficult track to record or something.
Well, Elvis Costello was having, I won't say an affair, a liaison with the banjo player in the band.
Right.
She was a young lady, which is why he was having... I've got to mention that. And he then stopped producing that record. So they brought in a different producer. And they went to Townhouse, they went to Air, they went to Abbey Road. They went to so many studios to record this particular song and their album. So they took a lot of time to do it. And when I was producing bands, certain sessions click. Sometimes they go, sometimes they don't. But with the young lady leaving the band, of course, it created a void and made it a bit more difficult.
Nothing is straightforward, isn't it, in music? You always hear different stories about how strangely a song can come about. It's always fascinating.
Yeah, I do wonder sometimes how anything is ever finished, because whenever I've finished a recording and you've mastered it and it's ready to go, there's always someone in the band that says, oh, I don't like that. My drums aren't loud enough. That guitar is wrong. And you can't go back. I mean, you have to say, that is it, finished, done and dusted.
They released it anyway.
I don't think, Ling, a record has ever been made that is perfect.
That's life, isn't it? That's what makes it genuine, actually.
Of course.
It was eventually released in 1987, wasn't it?
That's right, the 23rd of November, which would have been last week, Wednesday of last week. And it wasn't meant, as I say, to be a Christmas single, but it was released, yes, November in 87.
So because of the timing of its release, so it's associated with Christmas, do you think?
Not initially, not straight away. I'll tell you why in a minute.
I understand Radio 1 banned it and then edited out some of the words. Why?
Because at the time, I think they'd edit more out if they were doing it now. But yeah, they did ban it. And what was strange, although Radio 1 banned it, the regional BBC stations played it as it was. They actually played the full thing. So it made a bit of a mockery of it. And I suppose Radio 1 had more listeners, but on regional, they're going to play it as it was. So it was pointless editing any words out.
Well, the video is now a classic, but how did it come about?
Well, the band were in New York in November 87, and it was one of the coldest days in New York with snow and everything else. And it fitted exactly. And I believe that was why they really thought, actually, we've got a chance of a Christmas hit here. Ooh. Because mm-hmm. New York is very cold, especially yes. in winter. It was directed by Pete Doherty, who's a very famous sort of, I say, punk alternative musician and singer. Mm-hmm. And it was filmed partly in the police station. And Matt Dillon was in it, and he was due to arrest the singer. Now, the singer, it starts off with the singer on the piano, but it's not him. It was someone else in the band wearing his rings because, like in a lot of films, they cut, you know, so you think the main guy's playing the piano or the guitar. They're not at all. It's someone else doing it. But what they did is he mimed it and then they reshot it with someone from the band actually playing or miming the piano piece. And then it cut to the singer, the very famous singer.
So tell us the name of the song and artist and a bit more about how this great record finally got made.
Okay, well, the song is A Fairy Tale of New York. It's a great record. It was never meant to be a Christmas record. And I think when they shot the video, they realised that the whole thing would link in. Mm. But because they'd recorded in different studios, it took them a long time to get it right. Then they added the brass and the strings and everything else. Mm. And incidentally, the banjo player was a young lady who actually did the vocals on the original demo. But when she left with Elvis Costello, Shane McGowan, the singer, actually sang both parts.
Oh.
But it didn't work. And they had a different producer. So things suddenly changed.
Who sang the female part in the original version?
Okay, well, the original was a young lady called Kate O'Rourdan, an Irish lady.
Yeah.
But when she left with Elvis, they were left with a problem. Mm. So they brought in a new producer called Steve Lillywhite, a very famous producer. He's made a lot of hit. He did a lot with Talk Talk and other bands. So he was producing the record again for the third or fourth time. He did a demo and he took it home. And this is where everything changed. And this is what I think was the icing on the cake. It really lifted the song.
Well, how did Kirsty MacColl get to sing on the record?
She was Steve Lillywhite's wife.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and he played her the track and he said, you know, listen to this. And she fell in love with it. She's got a great character. I mean, she's no longer with us, but she's got a lot of character in her voice. And when she heard it, she literally, in my opinion, made the record. Because her and Shane, how they're interacting with each other, really makes it a wonderful, wonderful record.
It does have a Christmas feel to it, and the snow, isn't it? Everything.
Yeah, and it didn't get to number one. It got to number two, but actually it's one of the biggest selling, and I'm using the word Christmas hits now, it's one of the biggest selling records for Christmas, of a Christmas song. Not White Christmas, but it's one of the biggest sellers, and it was totally unexpected. It came from the left field, but yeah, a massive hit. And every year, and it grosses almost as much as Slade's record, almost, you know.
So the songwriters of this song are still continuing to receive royalties?
Yep, because it's used on a lot of TV shows. So where they make the money now is television. If it's shown on television, it could be, £500 a showing.
Really?
It depends which station and how many viewers they have.
Oh.
Shane McGowan, when he wrote this, he was actually, their band were in Sweden, in Malmo, and he was very ill in bed.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote most of his lyrics when he was sick, laying in bed in a sort of a not well mood, and in a, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Down, and therefore he created a lot of the aggressive words that work so well in the song. You've got to be in the right place, in the zone, as they call it. When I'm writing, I tend to be semi-conscious. It's very early in the morning. I'm half asleep and a notebook and things come to you. You're receiving the words and things. And I think that's one of the reasons. Again, it's all these things coming together. And I think with him being sick in Sweden.
Yeah.
And then Steve Lillywhite taking it back to his wife. Had he not been married to Kirsty, then who knows? Would it have been a hit? Would it ever have been released? That's the thing. So it's a fairy tale in New York recorded by the Pogues with Kirsty MacColl. And the video is a must-see. I mean, it's a wonderful song. It's got so much atmosphere in it. And it almost sounds as though they did it in one take. But we know, of course, they didn't. So it's a fairy tale in New York by the Pogues with Kirsty MacColl.
Thank you for chatting to LifeWire today, Graham.
Thank you, Ling. You're welcome.
It was Christmas Eve, babe, in the drunk tank. An old man said to me, won't see another one. And then he sang a song, the rare old mountain tune. I turned my face away and dreamed about you. Got on a lucky one, came in 18 to 1. I've got a feeling this year's for me and you. So happy Christmas, I love you, baby. I can see a better time when all our dreams come true.
You promised me Broadway was waiting for me. You're handsome.
You were pretty queen of New York City.
When the band finished playing, they held out for more. Sinatra was swinging, all the drums they were singing. We kissed on the corner, then danced through the night. The boys of the NYPD choir were singing, go away, babe. And the bells were ringing out for Christmas Day.
You
scumbag, you maggot, cheap, cheap, lousy faggot. Happy Christmas, you're all so great, God, it's our love.
The boys of the NYPD choir still singing, go away, babe. And the bells are ringing out for Christmas Day.
I could have been someone. I kept them with me, babe. I put them with my own. Can't make it all alone. I built my dreams around you.
The boys of the NYPD chorus are singing, go away, babe. And the bells are ringing out for Christmas Day.
LiveWire is produced by Steve Osborne Media. Steve Osborne Media.